Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's great to have a dishwasher, but sometimes you just want to put on rubber gloves and stick your hands in, and then notice that there's corn in the sink that you want to wash down the drain. And no matter how much water you pour in the different places to try and get the stream to move the corn into the hole, it just will not go, no matter what.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
I really love saying Happy New Year that loudly.
Didn't
get to do it at midnight on New Year's Eve because there's baby sleeping in the next room, so we had to speak in hushed tones.
You had to go, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's not the same. It loses certain something. We are recording this on the 2nd of January. How has the year been for you so far?
Oh, so we've had 2 days.
Zoom in, it's dragging a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a lot, yeah.
Anything?
Oh, sorry.
How's it been in those
I spent most of the day today in a car. Yesterday, I was in a car going to see the place my mum was born in Gloucestershire, which, as it turns out, has been converted into flats. And it was all very awkward while she tried to gain access by saying, I was born here. It's really embarrassing.
Why did she think it was interesting for you to see that?
Well, it is quite a nice building.
So it's an old hospital?
Well, it was a maternity home during the war. But it's sort of like a cooperative now, sort of like a very posh commune.
And she took the whole family to look at this place.
Yeah, in the rain.
And how did it go, her saying, I was born here, don't you know who I am?
Well, I remember my niece Amelia, who's only 8, going, this is awkward, isn't it? So just to give you an idea of how awkward it was, an 8-year-old picked up on it.
Did you get in?
No, of course we didn't. It's people live there. It's like, we're all wet and muddy, 8 of us.
In the best possible version of events, what do you think that looked like in your mum's mind?
Welcome with warm arms. You were born here. Maybe there'd be a plaque or plaque, I would say that wrong, on the wall. I don't know.
Something terrible has happened to me.
Oh, go on.
And it only happened today. Somebody sent me a Happy New Year text.
Yeah.
So I texted back, Happy New Year to you too. It'd be great to see you sometime in 2018.
Yeah.
They texted straight back saying, oh, I'm around all this week and all next week.
Oh, good God. You didn't mean it.
No, of course I didn't mean it.
You were vague enough to say 2018.
Yes. Oh. There's a clear social cue there.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
So I don't quite know how I'm going to kick that into the long grass, but that's a big thing that I have to struggle with early in the new year. I have settled on a New Year's resolution, though.
I've got one of you.
My New Year's resolution is that I am only going to follow people on Instagram whose lives look more depressing than mine.
Okay, people with bleak lives.
Because I think this is my problem. I'm looking at a lot of people's lives on Instagram and feeling envy,
yeah,
and quite deep-seated envy. And it's not doing me good. I don't want to see people living in nice houses.
No.
Don't want to see people having nice holidays.
No.
Don't want to see people having good social interactions.
Okay.
I just want misery. Misery loves company.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to approach my Instagram. And I know it gets muddy because, for example, I follow Jerry Halliwell on Instagram.
Yeah, of course.
And on the face of it, her life looks very good. She's obviously very wealthy. She lives in a fabulous big house. But, you know, I do sense a lot of sadness lurking beneath the surface there.
She's crying inside. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
So, you know, there are some grey areas that I'll need to work through. But broadly speaking, that is my policy. Perspective isn't something I'm good with.
No, it's not, is it?
No. So I could be watching a harrowing documentary about somebody in a war-torn country and very briefly be thinking, oh, God, I'm so lucky. And then something very minor would happen, like, oh, God, where's the computer charger gone? And instantly, I think my life is the worst life in the world.
I'm the person that cried before Christmas because I had toothache and I knew I wouldn't be able to eat any sweet foods. And I cried because I felt like I was that unluckiest person in the world who couldn't eat sweet foods at Christmas.
So have you had no sweets over Christmas?
Up until the 27th when my boyfriend's mum took me to work with her because she's a dentist.
Were you spending Christmas with her?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, she could have just gone in that mouth of yours on Christmas Eve and had a fiddle around and fixed it.
Well, I did wonder. No, it was a bit more technical than that.
What did she need to do?
She could have shone a torch and a fork up there, couldn't she?
Yeah, you're right.
People do DIY dentistry all the time. She was letting you suffer.
I had to wait 4 days.
She thinks you're not good enough for her son. And she thought, I'm going to make her suffer over Christmas.
Well, I did.
You know what she did?
What?
Bare minimum.
That's
what it was. So, yeah, we spent New Year's Eve with our friends Dave and Beth, and our son Gene is 6 months younger than their son Eric, and they play okay together, but they don't play great together.
Okay. Do you think they'll get better as they get older?
Of course they will.
Yeah. It's an age thing. Okay.
But here's what they don't do well at this age.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Well, they don't, do they, at that age?
So I constantly am feeling like I have to intervene and say, Gene, share nicely.
No.
Give Eric his toy back.
Yeah.
And what I know in my heart is, Gene isn't learning anything when I do that. It's too difficult a concept for his 20-month-old brain to take in. All I'm doing is proving to them that I'm a good parent.
Okay, you're just looking good.
Yeah, that's all you're doing. Yeah. If you're trying to teach a very, very small child how to share, you're not teaching them anything. You're just trying to signal to other parents that you are at least taking some responsibility of your child's actions.
Yeah.
I just wish I could let him run amok. Go feral. Like Stig of the Dump.
I find that most of what I do as a parent is just trying to do good things in the eyes of others. Like for the first time in my life, waiting for the green man at traffic lights. Like it's incredibly frustrating, but I feel like I look like an evil person if I cross with a pram when it's not a green man. Yeah.
How dare she take that baby's life into her own hands? Yeah, it's exactly that. On New Year's Eve, we gave both of them a bath.
Together?
Yeah, and it went horribly, really horribly. They were screaming, and it was like that very primal screaming. Their throats were tearing. They hated it. It was this cacophony of babies crying. So I thought, oh, I'm going to video this.
Yeah.
So I started videoing it and started singing Auld Lang Syne, and we all joined in. And so I thought, this will be a funny video for social media.
Yeah.
This is something to pop up on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, in contrast to everybody else, great New Year's Eve, I'll have some babies howling whilst we with the juxtaposition of us singing Auld Lang Syne. Great, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
you're
love
thinking
it.
That is a hit post.
Yeah.
18 likes, 4 comments.
What?
I know.
18?
Yes. I just feel that that is an inappropriate number. I really felt this is...
Did you post it again and say, look, say, hello, maybe you didn't see this the first time?
I got my wife to share it. And then I phoned Beth and got her to share it too.
Still just open...
Nothing.
Oh, God.
That some of the things that get a lot of likes on Facebook.
I know.
And that 18 and 4 comments, I'm feeling very... very disappointed. The other disappointing thing that happened was at midnight, we sort of had the telly on. Mm. We were watching Jules Holland and his Hootenanny. Very disappointed that Rag and Bone Man, Imelda May, Gregory Porter, none of these people were in that Hootenanny.
Oh.
Because every time I turn that Jules Holland show on,
they're always right.
I think he's holding them prisoner. He's holding them captive. But maybe they misbehaved throughout the year and he wouldn't let them out of the cage for the Hootenanny.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, so we had the plan to watch that until nearly midnight and then turn over for the fireworks, which we did.
Yeah.
So we turned over for the fireworks.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if we would hear a big countdown, so I got my phone out and I watched the second hand, and then when it got to 10 seconds I started counting down, and then when it got to 1 we all very quietly, because the babies were sleeping in the next room, we went Happy New Year, at which point the countdowns then started on the TV.
Oh,
so I don't know if the TV was broadcasting in some kind of delay or something,
what?
But it made it look like I'd ruined New Year's Eve by starting the countdown at the wrong time.
You ruined it. What do you think I did?
I think you were asleep.
I was, yeah. praise the Lord, I was asleep.
What time did you go to bed?
I think I was asleep by about 11:30.
Okay.
Up again 1:30, but
well,
still,
there we
slept
go.
Through it. I said Happy New Year to the baby at 1:30, like this, Happy New Year.
Time for Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, in whichever order that makes sense to you. You are the one perceiving it. In the computer simulation.
Hi.
It would be lovely to hear from you. If you want to share your story of failed human interaction and social ineptitude, email hello@adriftpodcast.com. As I mentioned on the last episode, it's a bit of a clean slate now that Annabelle's back. I let the email fall into such disarray. We're not really sure where we're up to with it. Sorry, Annabelle.
That's all right. Don't worry.
There were a couple of times during the recording of the last episode when Annabelle would start reading something out and I went, I think I did that one already.
Yeah.
And I'm not even 100% sure. It could be just that I read it in the email. Anyway, it was just in complete disarray. So new year, new start. Yeah. Send us your story. hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is from Hannah. Many years ago, when I was an awkward, nearly teenager, my parents were looking to buy a gas fire. And I, as their child, had to accompany them to the trip to the shop. So they excitedly choose their fire and go to the till with the man to sort out the paperwork for insulation, etc. Being chronically shy, I lurk behind the displays, hiding from my mum's embarrassingly friendly chat with the salesman, and he apologises for being slow typing up the information on the computer. My mum laughed and said, referring to the fast-paced age of technology the 90s was becoming, "Oh, don't worry, I'm a two-fingered typist too." At which point, to our horror, the man laughs and says, "Yes, I definitely am," holding up his hands, which only had three fingers between them. I had no idea how Mum hadn't noticed at that close range. He thought it was funny, but obviously Mum was mortified, and we all still feel fairly awkward about it to this day. Safe to say, Mum was a bit more guarded with the small talk from then on.
That is excruciating.
I love it that as a family, they still to this day feel awkward about it, years later. This is from Francis. 7 years ago, my husband and I were in Hawaii for our honeymoon.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
That's how Nicole Scherzinger says it.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Hawaii.
Hawaii. We were having lunch in a local diner.
She's Hawaiian.
Is she?
I think so, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sorry, I keep interrupting here. Who was this from
with
again?
Facts about Nicole Scherzinger. Francis. It was a quiet place with virtually no one else around. The waitress was very excited when she heard our accents and realised we were British. She didn't stop talking about how great Absolutely Fabulous was, and we were politely nodding along. Obviously, in her head, we had to be super fans of AbFab too, along with every single other person in the UK. Anyway, she was very nice, and we were chatting to the best of our abilities. She came over to the table to take our drinks order. My husband ordered a Coke, and I asked for a Dr. Pepper, to which the waitress replied, "What kind of Dr. Pepper?" My mind immediately starts to fantasise. Wow, I wonder what kinds there are. Cherry? Lemon? I internally get very excited in those split seconds. I've never come across different kinds of Dr. Pepper before. But after all, we are in the USA, the land of dreams. So why not? The waitress continues what can only be a couple of seconds later. Sprite, cola, lemonade. Inside I deflate. Oh, I say, I'll have a Sprite, please. Thank you. For some reason, I felt it would have been far too awkward to reorder the drink I actually wanted. My husband and I still talk about this whenever Dr. Pepper crops up into our lives, which isn't very often, and it always makes us smile.
That's bizarre. So what do you think went on there?
I don't know. Did she say what kind? Maybe she calls all soft drinks Dr. Pepper.
Now, that would be amazing.
That's what I think.
If in Hawaii,
yeah,
the generic term for a fizzy pop,
yeah,
is Dr. Pepper.
That's my solution. What's yours?
Well, I don't know. I mean, short of asking Nicole Scherzinger. That's my solution would be we need to track down Nicole Scherzinger and ask her if that is true.
And on the phone now, we know. Oh, no. This last one's from James. I'm a drifter in Texas, one of many, I'm sure. I have one story where technology failed me. Briefly, my girlfriend, later my spouse, purchased for my birthday a Crabtree and Evelyn bath product set. Aftershave, deodorant, etc., called Nomad. I loved the smell, and so did she. Unfortunately, the deodorant did not last a whole day, so I put it under the sink and forgot about it. Fast forward a few years, and due to poor planning, I only had the Nomad deodorant available. Later that morning, I caught the scent, and it triggered a fond memory of the two of us. Lovingly, I texted her, "I wore my Nomad deodorant today, and it made me think of you." 15 minutes later, I'd not heard back, so I double-checked that I'd hit send. I had, unfortunately. Here is what my phone auto-corrected the word Nomad to. "I wore my mom's deodorant today and it made me think of you." I immediately texted a correction, but still no reply. Worried that I had weirded her out, I rushed home after work that evening. There I discovered that she'd never received any message that day. Instead, I texted the whole thing to my brother's wife. I wore my mum's deodorant today and it made me think of you.
Oh, this is good. Anything like that, sort of, I guess, electronic communications gone awry. I was thinking maybe like posting something which is well-meaning on somebody's social media and it being taken the wrong way. That would be a good topic for us. I also thought maybe something on the subject of trying and failing to make friends as an adult.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah.
There's a friend of my wife's who I feel I have a good rapport with, and I've tried on a couple of occasions to advance that friendship, and it's gone poorly on both occasions.
Oh.
The first one, I invited him along to something, and his excuse for not being free sounded very tenuous to me.
Okay.
And then the next time we saw him, I offered to email him something, and he gave me a Hotmail address.
Oh, what? Like a one they never use, the one
that's
uses
what
for
I
spam.
Think. That's what
oh,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So anything on that subject, sort of trying and failing to make friends as an adult. I'll tell you what we always used to like on the radio show was, does this make me a bad person?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So something that maybe you think we can answer that question definitively for you. As well as all the usual things like pretending to know what you're doing, blurting things out. Just anything on the subject of failed attempts at human interaction. Email us, please, hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Get with it.
Adrift. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Annabelle.
Yes.
You have prepared a story about a time in recent years when you thought maybe you could become a happier person by taking up a hobby.
Yes. One of the things I've realised about myself is that there are many things that I have no natural ability for at all. As it turns out, motherhood. Also, hula hooping, baking, languages, accents, singing, cutting bread evenly. Actually, to be honest, most things, apart from clay pigeon shooting, for some reason, I got that straight away. It's probably a fluke, though.
I found that with cutting bread,
oh.
If I cut at what I think is quite a severe angle,
yeah, yeah.
It ends up being quite a normal angle.
Oh, that's good advice.
Because
yeah. I cut a bagel the other day, and one slice was so thin it got stuck in the toaster. Yeah, it was so bad. But I think the thing that I perhaps have the least natural aptitude for is tennis. Now, I know this because 3 years ago I decided to do a tennis course because I live near the Olympic Stadium in East London, and there was some initiative there to get local residents using the facilities at the Olympic Park, getting more people to do sport. I think it's part of the whole plan legacy of the Olympics thing. I mean, they're probably thinking of more of young people rather than me. But anyway, they ran a course for those that never played tennis before, and I couldn't play tennis at all. But I wanted to because I think I was recently started going out with my now boyfriend, and he's mad on tennis to the extent that he camps outside Wimbledon every year for 2 nights to get tickets for Centre Court.
I don't think I knew that.
Oh, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
At what stage did you only find that out after he'd impregnated you?
No, I knew it before. Okay. No, he does it every year. Okay. Yeah.
I know, but he might have said he was away for work or something, lied about. I'm just out at a strip club because he's so ashamed of it.
Yeah, that'd be preferable, wouldn't it? So I think I imagined that me and my boyfriend might spend long summer evenings playing tennis while drinking Pimm's, even though I don't really like Pimm's, or being outside on summer evenings because of my hay fever. Plus, I worked evenings then. But I think I also had a fantasy about it turning out that I was this incredible natural at tennis. Mm. I mean, every time I try something new, I have that
yes.
fantasy.
Yeah.
And despite being 39 at the time, an elite coach is sort of drafted in to watch me play. And then after a few intensive sessions, I get entered into Wimbledon, which I win. And then Annabelle Croft is really furious because I'm the more famous tennis Annabelle. It goes on and on and on. So as you can
this
imagine,
is why you should never try anything.
I know the reality,
because the daydream is I mean, that is a wonderful daydream.
And
I mean, I'm still waiting for the end of the story, but I assume you've ruined the daydream.
Well, we'll see. So I'm pretty excited about my course, which was called Tennis Express. I should point out that Express is spelt Express, Express. But I'm not so excited that I buy any kind of tennis gear, so I just wear my boyfriend's tennis shorts, which are very big on me. But I turn up very excited, along with about 9 other absolute beginners. And I soon discover that I find it impossible to even hit the ball. And I spend the next 7 weeks doing a lot of swiping at air. And I'm so bad compared to everyone else that nobody wants to pair up with me. So quite often, three people play together while I play with the instructor, Keith.
Well, at least Keith will play with you. At least he's not saying, why don't you hit it against the wall?
When I say play, Keith hits a ball at me, which I miss. But I never miss a lesson, even though there was a look in Keith's eyes each week when I turned up and suggested he wished I would. And at the end of the course, everybody was invited to progress to the next level, apart from me. When I inquired, I was told that if I wanted to continue, I'd have to repeat Tennis Express again, kind of making a mockery of the express bit of the course title. I was basically held back a year. You're probably wondering why I didn't give up at this point, because I did decide to do it again. But I think it's because I'd done the course once and it was a 7-week course. So this time, surely I'd be the best, not the worst at Tennis Express. By the end of the first class of the new Tennis Express, with a whole new set of absolute beginners, I was by far the worst. I mean, by far, in my two big tennis shorts swiping at the air. I did wonder when I was thinking about this, if I'm remembering it as worse than it actually was. I was hoping it was worse than it was. But then I remember there was one week when Tom, my boyfriend, came to watch because he was interested to see how I was getting on, being such a big fan of tennis. So I asked him what he remembered about it. This is what he said. I wrote it down. I remember the rest of the class using tennis balls with rackets, but you were to one side with one other person, a very overweight lady, and you were throwing a ball to each other. The coach had told you to do this and to take two steps left or right and then throw the ball back. And it was with child's soft tennis balls, not real ones. You were the special ones, not allowed rackets. Oh, and this was the second time you did the Tennis Express course, not the first time. After the catching game, you had to do a rolling the ball game. Rolling and picking up. It was like he was keeping two small children or dogs busy while the rest of the class learned tennis. I felt really embarrassed by you. I made it to week 5 of the second Tennis Express course, and then I didn't bother going back again to any kind of sport until at the Olympic Park they do clay pigeon shooting express, and then I am there.
There are some things that move down the stream. Some of them are called Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. It's coming past you, and on the sail is written GLAP, which stands for GLAP.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
The organization.
Adrift.
We need to talk about Patreon. Patreon is the way in which you can support the podcast if you enjoy listening to it every week, or if you just feel sorry for us. You can pledge small amounts of money, hopefully to try and keep us going, both in terms of financially and our self-esteem, really.
Yeah.
So we'd really appreciate it if you support the podcast, if you're willing just to donate like the equivalent of a couple of pounds or a pound a month or more. I mean, as I always say, if you are an oligarch, or if you need to look, have you seen Ozark on Netflix?
Yeah, I really like that, yeah.
Like, part of my fantasy is a money launderer will need to launder some money, and they could do it through this podcast.
What a great way to do it.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Anyway, so we'd be really grateful to you if you're willing to just put aside a small amount of money every month to support the podcast. Go to patreon.com/adrift. And we need to talk about the rewards. Because if you go on there, you will see that there are varying rewards. If you just support us for the equivalent of an American dollar a month, you get given a title by Annabelle. But there are ones right the way up to some life coaching sessions from us too, like via Skype or FaceTime or whatever. And we need to get on top of these rewards. Now, the something I've realised is one of the rewards is completely redundant.
Which is
the one where we offer people access to deleted scenes from the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I did wonder what that was. Is that me just like messing up my lines?
Well, I was hoping that there'd be such a glut of material that every week there'd be all this. We'd keep the gold, but there'd still be a lot of silver, and I'd be able to give the silver to the people.
Really, it'd be
the
stuff
Patreon
like
subscribers.
Really, it'd be stuff like me reading an email out, and then by the end, you remembering that you'd done it when I was away, not having to start again.
You're going to the printer.
Yeah, me going to the printer. Yeah.
I mean, that would be the deleted scene from this week's episode.
Yeah.
So, I know for the higher level supporters, the next one up from that, we've promised podcast parties and so on, special Patreon only podcasts. So here's what I thought we could do. Maybe next week we could record something for Patreon supporters, a bit like an AMA, you know, an Ask Me Anything.
Okay, yeah.
They do it on Reddit and you see them on Twitter online and things.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is if you are a Patreon supporter, Annabelle will send you, you can send a message through it, right? You can send people a message. I believe so.
Okay.
Asking for questions. And then next week, in addition to the episode, we can also do an Ask Me Anything, which we will then send out to the Patreon supporters. How does that sound?
Yeah, or just just email us your questions.
Hello.
And I'll double check you're a Patreon supporter.
Yeah.
The email system on Patreon, not good.
Oh, really? Well, here's the thing. I mean, yeah. Even if you're not a Patreon supporter, only they'll be able to hear it. Only they're getting the secret link to where
it is.
Oh, yeah. So, you could just email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. But we'll give it the old college try on the messaging system So that's what we'll do. If you're a Patreon supporter and you've been thinking, when are they going to do something for us other than just call me Viscount?
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Then Annabelle's back now from maternity leave and we're going to get on with that stuff. And the first thing we'll do in lieu of any deleted scenes is an AMA. So if you want to ask us questions, they can be personal, they can be philosophical, they could be trivia questions. It's entirely up to you. Look out for the message from Annabelle, or you can email us directly, hello@adriftpodcast.com. And to be part of that and to get to hear that, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/adrift. Patreon is spelled PATREON.
If you know where you're going, it doesn't matter if the location is going in that same direction, because you're already making the move. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port are adrift.
Okay, it's the part of the podcast where we'd usually do the incident, but as I mentioned before, it's the 2nd of January, and just finding people to talk to is nigh on impossible. A lot of people are still off. On holiday, or you know, you don't want to bug them on Twitter on New Year's Day,
as it
was yesterday. So I will tell you about something that happened to me, and I'll ask your opinion on it.
Okay.
And it does sort of raise the question, like, how sustainable is finding three people every week for the incident in perpetuity?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, I've been running on goodwill for these months, like sort of getting in touch with people I know by and large.
Yeah, might need a rethink.
Might need a rethink. Yeah. But, you know, that could be an exciting new feature coming to the podcast soon.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Anyway, so New Year's Eve.
Okay.
As I described before, we counted backwards from 10. Mm-hmm. Then it turned out I was counting at the wrong time, or the TV was counting at the wrong time, so we had to do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Then we said Happy New Year, and then, you know, we all had a little hug and kiss, me and my wife and my friend Dave and his wife Beth. And then after that, immediately my wife left to go at the lavatory.
Right.
Now, we'd switched the TV over especially to watch these fireworks.
Oh.
Did you? You were asleep, so you don't...
Asleep.
I mean, they were spectacular fireworks. I've heard some people say they were over the top.
Oh.
Like it was a bit gaudy.
But when are fireworks? There's no such thing.
That's what I think.
No.
Anyway, so I'm watching these fireworks, but as I'm watching them, I'm feeling anxious throughout because I really want my wife to come back from the toilet and see the fireworks because she's missing them.
Do you feel a bit proud of
the city we live in? Where your son was born, the fireworks were happening right next to the hospital where he was born. I thought he'd come back from the toilet. And anyway, she couldn't have timed it any worse because she came back like 2 seconds after they'd all finished and people were just clapping.
Oh.
Which then led to our first marital disharmony of 2018.
Oh, no, well, in the first 10 minutes.
Because it was my feeling that she luxuriated in the toilet instead of watching the fireworks.
She was going a while. They go in a while, those fireworks.
Probably
what
10 minutes
doing?
Or more.
Like really washing her hands? Or?
Well, she said that she had a bit of a dicky tummy.
Oh, okay.
But I think she was luxuriating in there. So I will ask you about this for this week's incident, because it was, you know, the only thing that's happened to me of note this week.
Right.
Do you feel that after you've wished somebody a Happy New Year, there's kind of a period with which you have to stay with them before you can go off and do another thing like luxuriate in a lavatory?
Well, if it had just been the two of you at home, you would have just... And the same thing had happened. Her tummy supposedly felt a bit dicky and she had to go off. You would have been on your own for the first 10 minutes of the year and they would have felt very flat and weird.
But I feel what you're saying is backing up my argument. That she was just behaving like this because other people were around. Whereas if we were alone, she would never have treated me so cruelly.
Yeah, we're so cruelly leaving you alone. Yeah. I think I feel more offended that she missed the fireworks because it's something as it's part of our culture in a way, isn't it? And I felt like she
maybe for about 10 years.
Yes, for about 10 years. Yeah. So in a way, she was sort of dismissing your culture.
Yes, she does that a lot.
It'd be like you at Thanksgiving walking out for 10 minutes during the meal.
She does it a lot.
Right. Other examples?
Often won't watch a sitcom if it's British.
Dismissing your culture.
Because she says it's too slow.
It's too slow? What is she watching? One Foot in the Grave or like, I don't know, Decreasing Circles?
She doesn't like things which are too naturalistic.
Oh, okay.
But the other thing is, if we had been at home, I suppose I could have taken the laptop to her on the toilet and said, look at the fireworks.
Next year. Next year, make sure you've got some kind of portable device. So anywhere she goes, she can watch it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you were younger, this show was just getting going. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, with you now in your old age.
I can give you a couple of things that happened to me in that week between Christmas and New Year.
Okay.
I heard somebody call that the perineum.
Oh, I've seen that as well. Like, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Kind of creative, but gross.
I think in Sweden they call it the equivalent of the in-between days, which I like.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
And we could all listen to In-Between Days by The Cure. on those days.
I saw a brilliant tweet. I think it was Simon Blackwell who said that period between Christmas and New Year is a fantastic preparation for being old because all you're doing is sitting under a blanket and asking what day of the week it is. I think it's so true.
That's really good. So there's a cafe I go to round the corner from here, which I've told you about before. Basically, it's this cafe that's had the very good business idea. Let's get a load of crummy old toys in here so that stressed out parents can bring their kids and the parents can just sit and stare into the middle distance while the kids sit on the floor playing with toys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in there quite often. So I was in there on my own on both of these occasions. The first one, I'd been drinking a bottle of cola, right. Karma Cola with a K.
Oh, right. Very cool.
One of my things is, as Annabelle will tell you, I really like cola that isn't either Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Mm, yeah.
So I like really love crummy supermarket cola.
Roller cola.
Love anything where you can really taste the syrup. Mm. Anyway, I've been drinking a bottle of this and I've got to know the waiter in there a little bit. He's a very nice man called Aziz. But also, as you may get as you may realise from listening to this podcast, I'm quite a timid man when I'm out and about in the world.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there with this drink and I finished it and he sort of came into the room and he said everything okay. And I got the empty bottle and held it between my fingers and I went, oh, I'll have another one of these, please.
Mm.
But I think I said it in too timid a voice.
Yeah, that sounded quite timid.
And he didn't hear what I said.
Right.
And he just cleared it up.
Oh.
So it looks like what I'd said is, can you take this away, please?
Oh.
Like, can you clear my rubbish away?
Yeah, do this.
Yeah, so that was an awful thing that happened to me. Mm-mm. And then the other truly awful thing, and I've mentioned this on the Ed Miliband podcast.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's a big crossover in audience or not, so apologies if you've heard me say this already. I mean, to be absolutely honest, we could do with some of the audience from that podcast coming over to this one.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's the way I'd like the traffic to flow.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I was in there and they were closing up for a few days over the new year. So the girl who works there, she's really friendly, like she's great with Jean. And she was saying, I said, Happy New Year to her. And she said, oh, Happy New Year to you too. And she comes round the counter to give me a hug for New Year. Mm. So I go in and I give her a hug. I'm holding Jean. So it's like a slightly uncomfortable hug, like me, the baby, and this girl. But we have the big hug. But as I go in to do the hug, I realize, oh, you weren't actually coming to hug me.
Oh.
you were coming to like give Gina a kiss on the forehead or something.
No, no.
And now I look like this gropey man who's gone to hug the waitress when she didn't want to hug. So to try and make things better, I went and found the waiter who was like right over the other side of the restaurant and gave him a very deliberate and visible hug in front of her.
No.
So she just thought I wanted to hug everybody for the new year.
And the waiter thought, why is he hugging me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, one minute he's telling me to take his rubbish away like I'm a skivvy. And then the next minute I'm going in for the hug. So those were my two less than glorious moments in the week between Christmas and New Year.
It's the person that sometimes gets in touch with you, but then you don't talk to them very often because you're just like busy. And it's not that you don't like them. It's just that you don't like them that much. So you just kind of lose touch and go
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Another thing we need to address is, because Annabelle is a new mother, back from maternity leave really too soon.
Yeah, I'm very tired.
You're not really up to doing assignments at the moment, going out and doing your challenges.
No, sorry.
So we sort of need to think about something to go in this part of the podcast where you would normally do an assignment.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'll get back to you.
Oh, okay.
But I thought in lieu of us actually having anything, I could recommend some of the things I've been watching on telly over Christmas.
I love a recommendation.
So have you seen the new Black Mirror yet?
No.
So where is your TV watching at the moment? Because it's a weird thing when you've got a tiny baby. Mm. In a way, you should be able to have all this time to watch TV, but because your brain is mush, you can't really.
I just imagined I would just watch Netflix all night, but I can't. Not only can I not concentrate on anything, but I've been so tired that my eyes can't focus on anything. So I really struggled to watch anything really, apart from very trashy things like Tamara's World. Have you seen that?
What is Tamara's
World?
Tamara
Eccleston's reality TV show. It's on a TV channel I've never even heard of.
What
before.
Is it?
It's just her, like her life. She's
no. What channel is it?
Oh,
exclamation
mark! It's called like something like ITVB or something.
Right.
No. So I watch things like that now.
What are you getting out of that show?
Nothing. Just like colours, moving images.
Is she a likable character?
She is very sweet, and it's just utterly fascinating how the incredibly rich live. I do find it very interesting.
As I mentioned before with my Instagram resolution, I'm not sure that watching a show like that would do me any good.
No, that's true.
So I've just watched the new series of Black Mirror, the Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror.
And I assume it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. I've read bits of people sort of moaning about it on the internet saying it's not as good. But by and large, I think the six episodes are great. There's one which the consensus online and my wife's opinion is that it's not quite as good as the others. It's called Crocodile. Mm. And I really enjoyed it. And it's set in Iceland. It's never acknowledged that it's set in Iceland. But it is, you know, you can tell from the landscape. And my wife says that if this episode wasn't set in Iceland, you wouldn't like it as much.
Oh, okay.
And I think she's right.
Oh, okay.
So I thought maybe I could sort of chuck that out as a topic. Mm. Are there weird quirks of your TV and film watching whereby you are particularly likely to enjoy something or dislike something based on just like a small detail?
Okay, yeah.
I've said before that I don't enjoy watching a period drama.
Yeah, anything where there's no kind of technology, is that right?
Yeah, I don't like watching anything from, say, pre-1920, really, where they haven't got, you know, access to telephones and they can't just get in a taxi.
And you still stick with that? That's not something that's changed over the years?
Not really,
no.
Just checking, okay. Would you watch something set in India?
I really love the film Slumdog Millionaire. So, yes, I would.
Because you've got your
I watched that film Lion and half of that was set in
India.
No, I would.
Okay.
I would.
I thought I'd cut you out
then. Yeah.
Sanibel's got a weird thing where you will never travel to India because you think your doom awaits you there.
I think I'll lose my mind.
I don't understand.
I don't understand it. It's I can't explain it.
You just think that if you were to ever to travel to India, it'd be equivalent of eating a load of LSD and your brain would never come back.
Yeah, but then I think maybe I've got this vision of India in my head that maybe isn't quite what it is. I don't know why, but I think there's a lot of paisley everywhere. Am I right?
What if I was wearing a paisley shirt now?
I wouldn't want to look too hard
at it. So paisley makes you feel a bit weird?
I can't cope with paisley.
I sort of know what you mean, and then in another way you sound insane.
It's the same as that Romany broccoli.
Oh yeah, Annabelle's got a thing. Is it called Romany or Romanesque?
Romanesque.
It looks like fractals, and you think it's too psychedelic to look at.
Did I tell you about the time I went round to someone's house for dinner and I was 100% sure they were vegetarian, so I didn't bother saying that I didn't eat meat because I thought, well, she won't be serving meat. As it turned out, she's Jewish, and there's just certain ways that meats are cooked or prepared or whatever that she doesn't eat, and she totally eats meat, and so she prepared meat, and I had to say, oh, I'm so sorry, but I don't eat meat. And she'd sort of done a roast dinner, so she just gave me the vegetables, but the vegetable was that Romanesque broccoli. So I had to eat it, but I just didn't look at it the whole time.
So did you have to, you didn't say, I'm sorry, this is too psychedelic.
I'm sorry, I know I couldn't eat the meat, but I now also can't eat the vegetables. I just had to eat it without looking at it.
Was it trippy?
It was horrific.
Did you go all trippy?
No, of course I didn't. There's nothing psychedelic in it. I'm not that suggestible.
So this isn't quite a period drama, because they do have phones and things, but I really love The Crown on Netflix.
Oh, no, I have heard that's good.
And
okay.
I'm the least likely person to enjoy that because I'm not a fan particularly of the royal family as an institution, nothing against them as individuals. And I don't like things set in... I don't like posh things either, really.
No, I'm amazed you like this approach.
But it's so, so good. And here's what's brilliant about it. So if you think about the Queen, very neutral character.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you tell us about her, really?
Nothing.
Nothing. She likes those corgis.
Yeah.
She likes horses.
Yeah.
But she's been around our entire lives. And she's never sort of said anything memorable apart from that time she said Anna Cerebilis.
Yeah. That's a catchphrase, yeah.
And you know, all we've really seen her do is wave or appear on banknotes and stamps and things.
Yeah.
And the woman who plays her in the show, Claire Foy, she plays her in a way that feels, oh yeah, this is absolutely the Queen and this is that neutral woman.
Mm.
But there's just so much sort of soul and emotion in it as well.
Oh.
It's really good.
Will your wife watch it?
She adores it.
Oh, God. She's not dissing that bit of your culture.
But you know what Americans like, the royal family. They love that.
Yeah, of course.
And then the other thing, I think I've mentioned this before, but I love it. And I'm almost hesitant to recommend it because I would say 90% of people I recommend it to have quite an intense dislike of it.
Mm.
But it's the Maria Bamford sitcom Lady Dynamite on Netflix.
Okay.
If you don't know who she is, she's an American stand-up. If you're a fan of Arrested Development, she cropped up in that in the last series they did on Netflix. Tobias ended up thinking he was going to a method acting clinic called the Method One Clinic. And unbeknownst to him, he was actually at a rehab clinic called the Methadone Clinic. And he ended up like with this recovering addict girlfriend. And she was played by Maria Bamford and she was brilliant in that. But she's a really good stand-up. She's playing in the UK actually in March. And she has a sitcom. A lot of her stand-up is about her own mental health issues. Mm. And the sitcom is sort of around that. And it's sort of based on a real life. And it takes place on three separate timelines, the past, the present, and the future. And it's quite strange. There are sort of talking dogs in it and weird fantasy sequences and bits of songs. And there are many different characters all called Karen Grisham who are not related to each other in any way. And it's not acknowledged that they all have the same name, so you can see why it might rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to that and say, oh, that sounds, you know, I'm up for something a bit bizarre, it makes, you know, when it's at its funnest, it makes me laugh as hard as anything.
Okay.
It's really good. So in lieu of giving Annabelle an assignment to do, there are a few recommendations. Do you have any recommendations, Annabelle, apart from Tamara's World,
Britain's Next Top Model? Very okay. good. Sorry.
And that was our podcast. I think a low key start to the new year. Do you not try and pretend it was intentional and that we decided, you know, it's the day after New Year's Day. Nobody really wants this full on podcast.
No.
We're going to strip it out and then we're going to put some new elements into it in the coming weeks and try and make out that was intentional rather than, oh God, Annabelle's just got back from a Christmas break. I mean, literally, you came straight here from your Christmas break.
Oh.
and couldn't get hold of anybody for the incident. I've made a real rod for my own back with that feature. God knows what we're going to do in the replace Annabelle's assignments for the time being.
Yeah.
I mean, can we not just try and put some kind of veneer of professionalism on it?
Yeah, it's good to have the low-key start.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. Rate and review the podcast, please. Perhaps based on previous episodes rather than this one.
Yeah.
If you're on iTunes, it always helps if you go on there and give us a rating and review. And as I mentioned before, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/adrift, and we'll be doing an Answer Me Anything for our Patreon supporters. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. No one to thank for the incident this week.
Oh, yes.
Makes my job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So thanks to Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox for making the idents and being our announcers. And to Carla Gowlett for taking those lovely photographs of us.
Yeah.
I look very different to my photograph at the moment.
You've got a fringe today.
I have got a fringe, yeah, and I'm enormous after the Christmas period. And thanks to Kim Rainey for doing the brilliant artwork. And to Patrick Gunning in Iwana Babu for the technical support, setting up our little studio here. And is that everyone? Have we forgotten anyone?
I think that's everyone.
So finally, thanks to the manufacturers of whichever smartphone auto-corrected Nomad deodorant to Mum's deodorant.
Adrift.
Okay, on to the podications, and the podication cupboard is looking a little largely, I think, due to me not keeping on top of it while you're away, not begging people to send in podications, and also perhaps losing some through the cracks.
Yeah, I'm going to try and go through and sort it out if I get spare time. I mean, seeing as I rarely have time to brush my teeth, I'm not sure when this is going to happen, but I'll do my best.
The first one comes from Rebecca Nicholas, who says, hello.
Hello.
I sent in a podication a few months ago, but it hasn't been read out. That's probably Annabelle's fault.
Yeah, sorry.
To be honest.
Sorry.
I thought I'd mention that and play on your sense of guilt to read this out. I'd like to podicate this to my husband, Nicky, who is an amazing soul. I love him completely. Completely. Wow, imagine that.
That's a lot.
I also thought that I would take this opportunity to tell you that Nicky recently said to me, why are you saying yeah like that? It took me a while to realise what he meant until I realised I'm saying yeah, like Annabelle. I don't know how you say yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, a bit like Roland Rat.
Yeah.
I have unconsciously picked up her ways and now I sound like I'm from Tar Pots. Coincidentally, Nicky used to live near Tar Pots and laughs when I tell him about Annabelle's paper round days in the area.
I wonder if I delivered.
So yeah. Tar Pots is part of Southend?
No, it's in Bentfleet. It's about half an hour drive from Southend.
Oh, really?
20 minutes, half an hour, yeah.
Oh, so quite a way then.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on traffic.
Yeah.
When you think of the streets from your Tar Pots paper round, what are you remembering?
The streets.
Like many angry dogs who would go out, you know, the round itself.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, seeing as I did it every morning for 6 years, you think I'd have something better to say, really. But yeah, I mean, I remember one person getting annoyed that I'd open their gate with my bicycle wheel because I would want to cycle right up to the front door. I'm like, why would you get annoyed that I was opening it with my wheel, not my hand? I mean, what difference does it make?
Were you scuffing the gate?
No. There was one old guy as well who I felt like quite often this happened, but maybe once or twice, three times, I don't know. But he was an old man and he'd open the door and there'd always be something that he'd drop by the door they'd want me to pick up. Weird memory, like a 20p. Be like, could you just pick that up for me? So I had to bend down and pick it. Oh god, this is such a weird story. I'm sorry, I wish I never started it. Like, I've never really thought about it until now. And then sometimes I might get to keep it. Sometimes,
to be clear, are we having a hashtag Me Too moment here?
No, it was innocent. It was innocent.
It was an innocent asking a teenage girl to bend over and pick something up.
Yeah, god, that was weird.
Yeah.
And the other, there are the dogs that try and bite your fingers, etc. But yeah, I mean, it's just a pretty standard suburban paper round.
You see, I remember from when I was doing my paper round, and you know, I only did it in my mid teenage years. I didn't do it, you know, up to adulthood.
Just 18.
But I remember certain letterboxes really looked forward to putting the paper in because it was possible to balance it and then whack it in.
That's a good
and
feeling.
get the paper like halfway across the front
whooshing
room or something
it.
In the terraced house.
But then there's really like snappy narrow ones that are horrific.
Yeah, that rip the paper to shreds. Ooh, yeah. Little pleasures in life. So there we go. There's some little tar pots memories for Nikki. Toodlepip, all the best wishes, Becca. The other one comes from an old friend, Jeffrey Rubble, who says, firstly, congratulations on Adrift. Thank you. It feels a little leaky this week, but we're going to... You just shrugged, like, who cares?
No, I mean, like, what can we do now?
What can we do?
That's what it meant.
It's done, isn't it?
Too late now.
I mean, we could pause the recording, sit for a couple of hours, brainstorm.
No, I've got to get back and feed the baby.
Also, congratulations to Annabelle on being in the family way. That shows how long ago Jeffrey sent this email. Given her dislike of the unpleasantness, this is an astounding development.
Oh, I didn't do that. Don't worry about it. Do not worry.
Can I say the phrase you used earlier on for a certain room at the hospital?
What did I say?
You said...
Oh, I know what I said. No, it's gross.
Okay.
No.
You said it.
I know.
Okay. Who'd have thunk it? Does that idiom get used over there? It does a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Secondly, Laurel, two of our offspring, the oldest and youngest, and I, are often to... How do I say this word, Annabelle? Kauai? K-A-U-A-I. Kauai?
I don't know that word.
At the end of the week. I mean, they were back probably by the end of September, so I don't know if it's relevant still, but I'll...
Is it in Hawaii?
I don't know.
I think it might be.
Well, there we go.
I think it is.
It's a very Hawaii-themed podcast. I think it would not only fill up some time on the podcast, and as we all know, you have plenty of time to fill up, but it'd earn you a new subscriber or two if a podication hit while we were listening to Adrift over breakfast or lunch on the garden aisle, perhaps. Well, I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you could save it for next year's holiday if you're going on holiday next year.
Yeah.
But maybe it was one of those once-in-a-lifetime trips to Kauai.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Messed up again.
Also, I just, you know, I don't want to point the finger here.
Yeah, you're pointing your finger. Go on, keep talking.
But, like, largely what has gone wrong with the email has been my fault because it's happened while Annabelle was off on maternity leave. But I'm looking at the date here, 5th of September.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this was some time before you took the time off to go.
Baby brain. No, I'm joking. I tell you what went on here. I do is I scan them for a date if they want it on a particular date, but I don't scan it for we'll be on holiday soon. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. But I'm gonna get better at it, not worse. God, I'm gonna get worse.
And are you going to email Jeff and tell him?
Yeah.
Because he might have given up on us. I mean, Jeff is a long-term listener.
He won't.
And this might be the straw that broke the camel's back.
He's still with us.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll email him.
Anyway, he says, hello to Laurel, Alison and Benjamin as they enjoy Adrift whilst vacationing on holiday to the rest of us on Kauai, the garden isle of Hawaii.
Hawaii!
You were right.
Yay!
If only I'd skimmed, I would have been able to answer that much sooner. They may be our only listeners on Kauai. Let's hope they spread the word whilst they are enjoying 85 degrees Fahrenheit days, the afternoon trade winds, and spam sushi.
Ooh.
Yes, spam is a big thing on Hawaii.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, because they need the tin foods because they're so far from the mainland, you see. That's a real thing. And no, we won't be eating it. As an aside, you may have noticed that Laurel, our daughter Zoe, and I have all subscribed to Adrift. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It really means a lot to us. And I'm worried that even if Jeff's still with us, Laurel's probably gone and Zoe's definitely a goner. But once you've sent that grovelling email, it's all going to be fine.
Okay.
Best of luck on the podcast, the beautiful boy and A's impending family. We've got two beautiful boys.
Here we have.
So there we go. Jeff, thank you. And thanks for your continued patronage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really sorry that this has taken a quarter of a year just over.
Yeah.
But
thanks for putting it that way, a quarter of a year. I mean, God.
I mean, yeah. It seems to me like he was one of the first people to get on board with a new podcast.
Are you sure we haven't read it already?
All right. If you'd like a publication, we promise to get better, just generally, but also... Oh, you look like you're genuinely upset now.
I did actually hang my head in shame, physically did it.
You did.
I felt so ashamed.
Sorry, Jeff. Like I say, not my fault.
My fault.
But if you like a podcation, you know, what's your New Year's resolution for 2018, Annabelle?
Stop biting my lips. I mean, sorry. be on top of her podcations and emails. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's not what you wanted me to say.
You really sounded like a surly teenager as you said it.
I felt like one.
Email us hello@driftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day, like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-conditioned traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Mudguard on the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. allbirds.com, code FRESHSOCKS.